Well, as we know, the world is all still coming to grips with the news that Kate Middleton has cancer. We don't know what sort of cancer, but she has decided to withdraw from public life, and so she should. And when she was first told of her news, the thing that was most on her mind was how to tell her three children. And that got me thinking, you know, she had George and Charlotte and Louis to think about, but most parents that are diagnosed with cancer have the same dilemma. Ordinary people need to understand and try and work out, how am I going to tell the children? How are they going to cope? Is their concern and their worry going to add to my slow recovery? What do you do when you have bad news for kids? Renowned child psychologist is a good friend of this program, and we've spoken to him many times over the years, and he's back with me now, Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg. Dr. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, before we go into how you communicate with the children when you've got bad news to tell them, can we talk about you?
Sure.
You are a cancer survivor. You were diagnosed, I think, when you were just 19 years of age, and you fought it and had surgery and it came back. Now, you've obviously survived, but can I ask you, as someone that was given bad news by a doctor, how do you think most patients react when they're given this news?
Well, I remember very vividly going through various stages, and they weren't linear. I went back and forth, but the first one was disbelief. Just seriously, how can this happen to me? That's something that happens to old people, not young people.
Or people who smoke, or people who live a bad lifestyle.
Correct. And I imagine that there was an element of that with Catherine, as in all people. Then when you start going through all the tests and the treatment, you can actually get quite angry. Like, why did this happen to me? And there can be some fairly negative thoughts about that. Then there can be a sort of period of bargaining where you go, okay, well, look, I promise to lead a good life. I'll do good things. Just help me survive.
And maybe even then, find religion, God, Jesus. If I change my life now, can you get me out of this? Yes.
Anything like that.
Bargaining with God, yeah.
Yeah. Then there's when the inevitability of the diagnosis and the actual illness hits you, you can actually get quite sad. And that's a very natural response. Like, you're having treatment. I remember vividly after a couple of sessions under the linear accelerator, which is the radiation machine, which is fairly brutal, but it was back in the late 70s. You felt pretty dreadful. So that made me very, very sad. And then you can get into a sort of phase of acceptance and or resignation, depending on how it goes. For me, it was acceptance. This is my lot. What can I do in the time that I've got left? And I threw myself into the study of the psychology of cancer, psychosocial oncology, it's called now. And I started a support group for young people with cancer called Canteen, which you might be familiar with.
Oh, of course. Is that you?
That was me.
You started Canteen? You're kidding. Wow. Wow. I learn something new every day. Of course I'm aware of Canteen. You have obviously survived, but tell me, did anger help give you strength? Because some people may just give in and roll over.
Look, I think it did, but I think I was quite a resilient chap to begin with. So all of this depends on your previous experience, your personality, and of course the amount of support that you have around you, which is pivotal. And fortunately, at 19, I didn't have children, but what I did have with friends, and they were divided into two groups. One group that didn't want to have anything to do with me because they were frankly terrified.
Yes.
And the other group who really stepped up and were and are friends to this day.
let's talk about how you communicate and educate and console young children, which is exactly what Kate Middleton had to do. What's your advice to people who do have bad news for the kids?
Well, first of all, we've got to define kids, because younger kids don't have the emotional vocabulary to deal with complex issues. So you've got to be age appropriate in your explanation. And what you actually find is with the very young ones, a very simple explanation like, I've got an illness, the doctors are helping me treat it, and I might get a bit sick while I'm being treated, but the doctors are doing everything they can to make me well. And then you're simply guided by their curiosity. So for some, that explanation is fine and they won't even ask you any more questions. Some will be naturally more curious. With the older kids, I think honesty is the key. So
yeah, what if an older kid says, Mummy, are you going to die?
You're going to say, I really hope not. The doctor's doing everything they can to support me and help me through this, and I'm doing everything that the doctors have told me to do. Now, in some instances, when you are going to die and there is no hope, then you have to basically be truthful, and you put the emphasis on what can we do to maximize the time that we have left.
And how do you go about doing that?
Well, a lot of my clients over the years who have been in this situation have decided to stop their job, to go on trips of a lifetime, literally bucket list. And you know what? Good on them, because those children will have these fabulous memories. And of course, these days you video everything, and that will last them for their lifetime.
Wow. So I guess the important thing is to get some professional advice, reliable professional advice as well, because when you're under duress, you probably aren't thinking straight.
Yeah, well, the great thing about psychology these days is there's a whole branch of psychology devoted to dealing with chronic and terminal illness, and there's some really great research. They're fabulous clinicians, mostly attached to oncology hospitals, and they'll give you all the advice and even help you tell the kids and guide you through.
But imagine being George, Charlotte, or Louis, whose parents are the most famous parents in the world, arguably amongst the most famous parents in the world, and all their friends at school know everything.
Well, this was so brilliant about the timing of the announcement, because they timed the announcement just before the school holidays, so the kids didn't have to go to school and didn't face that kind of questioning. And everybody's got time to absorb what's happened, and the kids are presumably receiving as much counselling as they need, and they'll have time because of the school holidays to process what it is that's gone on.
Because kids can be cruel, can't they?
Oh, unbelievable.
If some kids, if they can see a chink in another child's armour, my God, they'll go for it, won't they?
Yeah, but that's because the brain of those children isn't fully developed. They don't understand the implications of a lot of the stuff that they do. So developmentally, I, as a child psychologist, would understand that kids do dumb things from time to time. Doesn't take away the hurt from the person to whom that hurt is directed.
So overall, what's your advice for parents listening to us now?
Well, you said it beautifully, Luke, and that is seek professional advice. For me, it's about being honest, being age appropriate in your explanations, and keeping the young person informed. The other thing that's quite important for little kids is to maintain their routine.
Right.
And that's why it's going to be very important for those royal kids to go back to school and go back into a regular routine once school starts again.
Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, always a real treat and a real pleasure to have you. Thank you for talking to us so often, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
A pleasure.
I hope you do. Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, renowned child psychiatrist, here on the Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network.